All right, very good. Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 16. We're going to continue last week's lesson. And as I concluded the lesson for today, I thought to myself, maybe we should have divided this lesson into threes. Oh boy, we're in trouble this morning, I think. We're going to need to get through it. I don't want to extend it through because next week's the Christmas program. So I want to finish it up. But I've got 60-some slides. Now, it's saying that a lot of them are verses, and a lot of them are just point, slide, not a lot of talking and so forth. So I think we end up maybe just fine. But we shall see.
Homework.
Pardon?
Homework.
Yeah, I'm going to have to send you home with some homework, yeah. So we'll read the same text. We started last week on our faith in the Holy Spirit. And I think I might have mentioned that really this is one of the keys. It's easy to say one of the keys. This might be the key to the Christian life because the Holy Spirit is God in us. And therefore we have this incredible power source who wants to lead us and guide us and help us and bring to memory scripture and help us in our relationships, because life is really all about relationships. Doesn't matter how much Bible you read or how much you pray if you don't put into practice what you have learned. And so the Holy Spirit will help us heal relationships. He'll help us in confessing our sin. He'll help us in leading us and guiding us in our daily walk. He helps us in so many ways, and so we need Him. I was trying to think of a earthly illustration. I couldn't think of one, except I know how I am if I miss my morning coffee. But that's not a very good illustration. We need the Holy Spirit every single day, amen? And so He's with us all the time. We need to tap in. All right, let's read this passage we read last week, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 16, John. And just follow along as I read. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. So remember last week we said Jesus told His disciples, it's beneficial for you that I leave. Now they may not have understood that. What do you mean, Lord? We are enjoying our time with You. What do you mean? What are You talking about here? But He says it's better for you if I go. Let's go on here. Let's see verse 7. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that was in reference to the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. Father, we're thankful for our time this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit, the one we're speaking about today, will certainly help us in this lesson. And we'll give You all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I feel certain you don't have your sheet from last week, so I went ahead and put the opening statement once again, because this is crucial. Without tapping into the Holy Spirit daily, not once in your life, but daily. Now, He comes in to indwell you once in your life, and then He stays forever. But we must check in with Him, if you please, on a daily basis. When we don't do that, we are missing out on a portion of what God wants to happen in our lives. And that's just a crucial statement. All right, on your sheet there, I put what we covered last week, just briefly and concisely. It's point one, was the assignment of the Holy Spirit. We talked about Jesus sending Him on mission here on earth to be with us. And then we started the attributes of the Holy Spirit. And we got through point A of that part of the lesson. And so that brings us up to today. We're going to conclude number two with his attributes. We said his attributes express deity. We talked about that last week. Just like God the Father, just like the Son, he is eternal. He's always existed. He's omniscient, omnipresent, and so forth. But then today we want to look at his attributes exhibit personality. His attributes exhibit personality. So I'm going to keep moving because we got lots to get through. The Holy Spirit is not a force. Amen to that. He's not, use the force, Luke. He's not that. He's not a, you know, some power orb. He is a what? Person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's not just a force or a power source. He is a person. So important to understand that. He possesses the characteristics. So since he is a person, guess what? He possesses the characteristics of a person. So let's take a look at a couple of those. Firstly, he has a mind. He has the intellectual ability to know things, right? He has a mind. Here's a verse for you. I didn't leave you spaces to put verses, so just jot it down next to that point. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man. So these things, knowing these things, it says, but the spirit of God. So if the spirit knows these things, then obviously the spirit has a mind. And so that's a great text verse there for that point. Secondly, not only does he have a mind, but the Holy Spirit has a will. In other words, he has the volitional power to make choices. These are characteristics, again, of a person. Let's look at a verse about that. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Spirit, he's talking about gifts, gives gifts. We'll come to that again a little bit later, but he gives them at his own choosing, if you please, at his will. And so he has a will, a volitional power to make choices. Thirdly, he also has emotions. Emotions, which is, he has the emotional capacity to feel things. And a verse for that would be Romans 15:30. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit. And there we see an emotion, love. Love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So those are just three. Mind, he has a mind, he has a will, he has emotions. These are characteristics of a person, proving that the Holy Spirit is a person. Well, not only that, but next, he performs the actions of a person. So he's got these characteristics, but also he performs actions of a person. Now, there are many that we could look at, and I've got many in my list here, but we're just going to limit it to four. First of all, he loves. This is one of the emotions, one of the actions of a person, to love. And we saw this verse already a moment ago with a little different slant, but here we see the love of the Spirit, Romans 15:30. So he loves. This is an action of a person. Not only that, he teaches. He teaches. We kind of see that in our text. When Jesus told them, howbeit in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you unto all truth. With the idea of he will teach, he will guide you and teach you truth. Doesn't use the word teach there, but I think I do have a verse that does, John 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Often in our Sunday school class, I think I just said it this morning even, Holy Spirit, teach us as we go through this lesson. My mouth is moving and you hear my voice, but if it's not the Holy Spirit communicating the truth to our hearts, from him to your spirit, then we're sitting in a classroom, like a secular classroom. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us and to communicate to us these eternal truths. All right, so not only that, number three, these are actions of a person. He guides. Just like, I might guide my son or I might guide someone to, we go to certain stores. It's becoming more popular. I'm not sure who started it. It might have been, what store was that? I can't remember now. But a lot of places now. Was that someone somewhere yesterday? They said, a man said, oh, where are the widgets? I don't know what he said, but he asked where something was. Then, the store clerk said, oh, let me take you there. And he guided him to the exact spot to find those widgets he was looking for. So the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us in life. And so let me give you the text verse for that, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit. And so he can certainly guide us. And I like that because sometimes I lose my way. Sometimes I don't know my way. And if I can have the Holy Spirit guide me and lead me in the way I should go, you can't go wrong then. Amen? So he guides. I'll give you one more. I might just say the other ones, but on your sheet, the fourth one is he intercedes. And that's an important one. He intercedes. And you'll probably recognize this verse, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You ever just come to time of prayer and say, I don't even know what to say, Lord. I'm either so burdened, so broken, or whatever, I can't even utter what I should be saying. The Holy Spirit picks up at that point and says, Father, here's what he's trying to communicate. Here's what she's trying to say. She's speechless right now, but here's what's on their heart, and he intercedes for us. It says there, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's a great verse. A couple of the things we didn't put in the lesson here, but he speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. He also calls. He calls men and commissions them, and those are a couple others that we could say. Now, this isn't on your lesson, but I want to just say this quickly. Not only can the Holy Spirit, let me back up here, I forget what it said. He performs the actions of a person. What was the one before that? Help me. There you go. Yeah, he possesses characteristics of a person, and he performs the actions of a person, but also he can receive the treatment of a person. And the lesson's just too long. I didn't want to include this, but let me just read it to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit can be reverenced. He's part of the Godhead. He can be rebelled against. These are really negative things here. He can be blasphemed. Remember a time in Matthew when they talked about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. How about Acts 5 when Ananias and Sapphira, what did they do? Peter said, who hath put it into your heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? So the Holy Spirit can be lied to. He can be resisted. Another place in Acts chapter 7, when we become stiff-necked, we become rebellious, we can resist what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in our life. Of course, he can be obeyed. That's a good one. We can obey the Holy Spirit. Here's a really difficult one. He can be grieved. If we talked about the Holy Spirit having emotions a moment ago, one of those emotions can be grieving. Certain actions that we can perform as Christians would grieve the Holy Spirit. If I walked into a bar, the Holy Spirit would be grieved. If I went into an adult bookstore, whatever, the Holy Spirit would be grieved. If I with my feet go someplace that a Christian ought not to be, you can mark it down. The Holy Spirit is grieved inside of me. If I say things I shouldn't say, if I behave certain ways, the Holy Spirit will be grieved. And that's something we ought to be sensitive to because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So that's just a little side note there that he can receive treatment as a person as well. Think of this. After all that the Holy Spirit has done for you, can you imagine grieving him or resisting him? Before quenching the Holy Spirit's prodding, remember all that he has done for you and all that He is willing to do for you. And think about that before you move forward in your daily routines. The Holy Spirit has done a lot for us, and He wants to do much more. And He wants us to plug in on a daily basis so that He can operate in our lives and get us to do the things that God would have us to do and would be pleased with. All right, well, that brings us to number 3. So we looked at the assignment of the Holy Spirit, the attributes of the Holy Spirit, and thirdly, the activities of the Holy Spirit. Activities. So now that we've learned what His assignment is, you know, we might say this tongue in cheek, what in the world is the Holy Spirit doing? Yeah, literally, well, what in the world, in this world, is He doing? And that's what we're going to look at here for a few moments. The activities of the Holy Spirit. Now that we've seen His assignment, and now that we've studied His attributes, we can begin to understand His activities. Well, first of all, letter A, the Holy Spirit, of course, is at work in the world. And you remember last week we said He has been since creation. If we looked at Genesis 1, we would see where it talks about the Spirit moved upon the waters and so forth. He's been active in this world right from the beginning. Of course, we're going to take a little different direction than that perhaps, but He strives with mankind, which is a persuasion. It's especially persuasion towards the understanding of coming judgment and things like that. So as He strives with mankind, let me give you a verse here, Genesis 6:3. But He won't always strive. Genesis says this, and the Lord said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. There will come a time when that Holy Spirit will no longer strive with men. And let's move on. Secondly, He convicts mankind. You know, I thought about studying the lesson. I thought about Tony last week receiving Christ. Wasn't that awesome? And preacher said, if you would have seen him in his living room or wherever it was, when I met with him, he had no interest in the gospel. He wasn't unkind. He just had no interest. And between then and last week, Holy Spirit was at work, convicting him, trying to communicate the truth to him. And that only the Lord can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And so one of the Holy Spirit's activities in this world is to convict men. In our text, we read this, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, and because they believe not on Me. So that's one of the verses there. What else does He do? The Holy Spirit convicts, I like this statement, and convinces sinners about the reality of Jesus Christ and the certainty of coming judgment. Convicts, convinces. You know, sometimes people need to be convinced of the reality of Jesus Christ. It's not just a fable. It's not a story. It's not a bedtime story. Jesus Christ is real. He actually walked this earth. He actually lived a sinless life. He actually rose from the dead. Yes, He's a real person, and the Holy Spirit can convince people of that fact much better than I can. I can show Scripture, but as I am, the Holy Spirit's doing the work. So praise the Lord for that. Another of His works, so He strives with man, He convicts man, He witnesses to man. He witnesses. This verse, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. So there you see the witnessing and the Holy Ghost going together. But here's an interesting statement, and I thought of this. This was good. Often, God's plan is to witness to sinners vertically. In other words, God's up in heaven, and He's, in a vertical sense, He's trying to communicate to sinners, like He did with Tony. during those weeks and months that between when preacher first spoke with him and last week, while the Holy Spirit is communicating or trying to witness vertically by his Spirit and to witness to them horizontally through his children. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we doing our part? Because I suppose God is trying to communicate vertically or witness vertically with everybody. Did you ever witness, come across someone and witness to them and they were so ripe? They were so ready. That's because God, through his Spirit, has already been dealing with them. And a witness to them vertically, if you please, because the Holy Spirit is at work in this world. All right, let's move on to the next one. So letter B. So letter A, some of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing in this world, and those were some four things that we look at. The Holy Spirit is at work also when someone receives Christ. Now this would pique our interest because, as far as I know, I hope so, we're all saved in here this morning. Well, did you know that five things, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, five things happened? I think that's our next statement here, actually. Yeah, five actions occur in the life of every person who received Christ, get this, all in an instant. All in a boom, just a twinkling of an eye, which is some incredible millisecond, whatever that is. Just boom, all just in an instant, five things happen. So let's take a look at those five things. First of all, the Holy Spirit regenerates our spirit. I don't think of the Greek word for regenerate, but I know that it lends itself to genes or regening, you know, the genes of our body. So literally, when we get saved, we become a new creature because God regenes us, he re-engineers us, if you please, on the inside, and so we are regenerated. And regeneration, or here's a verse, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. This is a great verse in soul winning. It can be used because of that first statement, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so he does this regeneration. At the moment of salvation, we are regened, if you please. Well, regeneration is that work of the Spirit of God whereby men are given God's life and nature. Peter talks about that divine nature that we get. And then we're made part of the family of God. That's a cool thing, isn't it, that we are in God's family. He's our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Papa. He's our Abba Father. We're in this wonderful family. And that's one of the things that takes place at the moment of salvation. Boom, we're made a part of the family of God. We're given God's life and his nature. A new nature moves in. That's the Holy Spirit. Secondly, when someone receives Christ, the second thing that happens in an instant is that we're baptized into the body of Christ. We're baptized into the body of Christ. Corinthians says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And I think we'll say something about this in a minute, but not to get that confused with water baptism. He's not talking about when you got baptized in the water. In fact, he says, by one Spirit we're baptized into one body, talking about this spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Let's go on. The word baptized, here it is. The word baptized means to submerge. Upon receiving Christ, the Holy Spirit submerges, if you please, us into the spiritual body of Christ. The spiritual baptism is not to be confused with the physical water baptism. And so those are two separate things. Of course, usually as you're reading Scripture, you can tell by the context which one it's speaking of. All right, what's the third thing that happens in an instant? Well, the Holy Spirit seals us. He seals us. Ephesians tells us about that. Here it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye believed. What happened? Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The word seal there is a stamp. And we could use different illustrations, but it's, let me finish the verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, so something's going to happen later, unto the praise of His glory. When you buy a house, you put a down payment on the house, or what they would call the earnest money. You put down the earnest money, that tells the mortgage agent, I'm sincerely going to follow, I'm committed to follow through with this transaction, and so here's my earnest money to prove that. And later, I'm promising to fulfill the entire agreement. That's kind of the concept of earnest. The Holy Spirit's telling us, when you got saved, I'm sealing you, which is my commitment to you, that you're eternally safe until that time when Jesus calls you home, either by death or by the rapture. And then he called it the redemption of the purchased possession. We are the purchased possessions. Amen. Purchased by His blood. So that's kind of the concept there, and that's what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can't lose our salvation, Brother Joe. We're sealed forever. Hallelujah. Well, what else? Number four. These are things that happen instantaneously upon salvation. Well, the Holy Spirit indwells us. He comes in. He comes in to tabernacle with us. Amen. He indwells us. That's a one-time event. Oh boy, that clock's tearing me up. Romans 8, 9. Just notice the underlined part. I'm trying to save some time here by not reading the entire verses. The Spirit of God dwell in you. And then 1 Corinthians 3, 16, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. In the Old Testament, God's Spirit was in physical temples. Today, we are the temples. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. And these are temples made without hands. And earthly, not an earthly tabernacle, but a fleshly. And so the Holy Spirit indwells us. And number five, the fifth thing that happens instantaneously upon salvation is He gifts us. We kind of alluded to that earlier, but in 1 Corinthians 12, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We saw this earlier, I think, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit divided unto every man severally as his will. So the Holy Spirit, pardon this word, dishes out. He dishes out the gifts, spiritual gifts, to each believer as he sees fit. He chooses. He does it at his will. So he indwells us. All right, let's go to the next thing here. So that's the Holy Spirit working when someone receives Christ. Five things that happen instantaneously upon salvation. Next, the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of Christians. So you see the natural progression here. He's working in all of mankind. Then He's working as for those who receive Christ. Five things happen at salvation. And now, after we're saved, He continues to work in the lives of each individual believer. What are some things along those lines? Number one, He will control us if we yield to Him. Now, I think we can go quickly here because this is just a list of things with appropriate verses. He will control us if we yield to Him. Okay, here's the verse for that, Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then notice that last phrase, if ye are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So there's this war going on, the Spirit against the flesh, but if we yield to the Spirit, He will control us. Next, He will teach us if we hear Him. So we have to be listening. He will teach us if we hear Him. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. Ye need not any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And so the Holy Spirit teaching us if and when we listen. Next, He will strengthen us if we submit to Him. You know, there's times we need strength. We're weak, We're beaten down, we're discouraged, we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, and He can do that at times. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. And so we see the Spirit giving strength there. Number four, He will lead us. Okay, we touched on that already. He wants to lead and guide us. A moment ago we used the word guide. But He will lead us if we follow Him. We have to be interested in that. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And so we saw that verse earlier. So He will lead if we follow. Next, He will empower us if we ask Him. Notice there's an if in every one of these statements. If we ask Him, He will empower us. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. Where is that power coming from? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it's the Holy Spirit providing the power, and we need to plug in. I was thinking on this morning, because I remember preaching a message, a couple years ago. I had a vacuum up here, and I talked about plugging into the power source. So I took the cord over there to that outlet and plugged it in and turned the vacuum on. You know, that was the illustration. But you know those little things that they're to protect your children from putting their fingers in the sockets? It's a little plastic thing that you put in the outlet, right? That little thing represents us. If I go to plug the vacuum into that outlet, but that thing's in there, it's not going to go in, right? And sometimes I think, you know, that's like us. The Holy Spirit wants us to be plugged in, but we're in the way. And so we just have to get out of the way. And so that's a lot of what the Holy Spirit trying to do in our lives is all about. He will love through us if we allow Him. Oh, come on now. Romans 5:5, the love of God by the Holy Ghost. Sorry about that. I'm trying to get done at a decent time. Keep moving. I knew it was going to be tricky. He will assure us if we are sensitive to Him. He will assure us. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. So there's that relationship. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so that he in us and us in him, that relationship there is sure, assured by the Holy Spirit. And then number eight, He will fill us if we avail ourselves to Him. Let me give you the verse and I'll make a statement here. This is a great verse. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but, here's the command, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let me just say this to you, because we talked a moment ago about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not to be confused with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit happens at salvation when the Holy Spirit of God comes into tabernacle or to reside or live in your person, in your body, and He stays forever. That's eternal security. The filling of the Spirit is really something that we must seek after on a daily basis. And we could say it this way, it's when we get out of the way. It's when we take that plastic thing out of the socket so the plug can go in. It's when, if our self and our desires and our own agenda, is that's what it's all about, then there can be no filling. How can you fill a glass with water when it's already full of milk? No, we have to pour out the existing substance to pour in the new glass of water. And that's really what the filling of the Spirit is. It's when we get out of the way and empty ourselves and allow the Spirit to fill us with His power. And so there's the indwelling, a one-time event, filling, which can be daily or even several times a day, depending on how you're yielding to Him. And so so we need to seek after, and of course here the commandment is to be filled with the Spirit. So it's something that we need to work on constantly. Hey, 2 minutes yet. All right, we're at the conclusion. Well, that was a lot to say, but hopefully we didn't go through too quickly. Wanted to finish the lesson today and start a new topic after Christmas. But the major goal of this lesson today and last week was not to fill your head with a bunch of theological facts about the Holy Spirit. Okay, we can do that easily. We go get a commentary or go read a book someone's written about the Holy Spirit and fill our brains with facts. No, that's not what this lesson was about. That might be part of it, but that wasn't the major goal. The major goal is that you would become more yielded to the Spirit's direction. More in tune with His wishes. And more fruitful through His power. My wife said this morning, we were talking about something just briefly, and I forget what the topic was, but she said this statement, "Oh, I know it was the Holy Spirit telling me yesterday that blah, 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 whatever it was." And that ought to be true in our lives every day. I sense that the Holy Spirit was talking to me in a sense. No, we don't hear audible voices, but he speaks through His Spirit to our spirit. He speaks to us. He prods us. Hey, give that person right there a tract. He prods us. He leads us. He guides us. He helps us. He comforts us. He speaks truth to us. He tries to lead us to the truth. He speaks of Jesus. He doesn't seek His own attention. He tries to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. These and many more are the works of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer. Are you availing yourself to that, this great power source inside of you? You know, I get so weary of people saying, "Well, I struggle with that. I just can't get over it." Or "I need these drugs because I'm depressed," or whatever. Listen, you have the power of God in you. I understand that prescriptions are sometimes necessary for certain things, but we just are too quick to seek after the world's solutions when we have God Almighty living inside of us. And I'm guilty too. We need to yield to the Spirit. This has been a really important lesson. And I hope you got the major goal, not just to learn some things and some facts about the Spirit, but you know what? Say, "You know what? He's inside of me. I need to start yielding more. He's inside of me. I need to be in tune. I need to be listening. I need to be sensitive to His prodding." And then, of course, to be fruitful because of what He's doing in you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's break for 15 minutes. We'll come back for